Welcome everyone to today's webinar, Driving Bottom Line Impact with Engagement Analytics, New Web Metrics for Less Headaches and More Insights. My name is Nicole Sterling, I'm the Marketing Major for Sitecore Australia and I'll be your moderator today. We are recording today's webinar and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation and PowerPoint slides within a couple of days. The PowerPoint will also include the results from the survey that we asked you to complete over the last couple of days. We will also email you a new white paper written by today's presenter entitled From Web Analytics to Engagement Analytics, Quality Over Quantity. Now, if you have any questions or comments along the way, please post them in the dialogue window on your webinar toolbar, that's the chat box. Alternatively, you can also post them to Twitter using the hashtag #newmetrics. Now, presenting on the topic today is Ron Person, Sitecore's Director of Analytics. As an independent consultant, Ron spent 12 years as one of Microsoft's first consultants, where he was the original Mr. Excel. In the 12 years prior to Sitecore, Ron has used Six Sigma and Balanced Scorecards to improve the performance of mid-sized companies. Rather than watching TV at night, Ron writes. He has written 26 books, including four international bestsellers on performance improvement and business computing. His latest book, entitled Balanced Scorecards and Operational Dashboards with Microsoft Excel, has a 5-star rating on Amazon. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, Nicole, and hi, everybody. Before I get into the presentation, let me tell you about the sponsor. I was an independent consultant for 25 years, and something I found was that in the first maybe half an hour within a company, you could tell what type of company it was and how dynamic it was and what the leadership was like and how involved the people were. And I haven't felt like working for a company other than as an independent consultant until I was made an offer by Sitecore a year ago. And this is an impressive company. That's just my personal opinion. Sitecore is the leading provider of enterprise-class .NET web content management and portal software for mid- to large-size organizations. And we're in eight countries around the world. The company has been stable from the very beginning, from its founding, by a bunch of guys that came right out of university in information technology in Copenhagen. And we have, right now, we have over 2,400 clients worldwide, and they have over 25,000 websites that are built on Sitecore. We've been recognized as a Microsoft Gold partner, as a high-potential independent software vendor, and Gartner Group, which is one of the major consultancies that rate software companies in the United States. The Gartner Group recognized that we were in the top, on the leading edge, on the top right quadrant of a four-quadrant analysis of web content management. So Sitecore was rated as being the leading edge. And in Europe, we just received the Red Herring Award, being one of the top 100 European innovative technology ventures. We have over 600 certified partners worldwide, and 60 of those, over 60, in Australia. So these are just some of our clients to give you an idea, and they range from major large corporations like Microsoft down to small corporations like hospitals, school districts, universities. So a very wide variety. Let's take a look at a survey was sent out, and we have the results back from that survey. And it gives us kind of an idea. I think there was enough of a sampling to give us a pretty good idea of what people are doing. And it's, which do you currently consider to be your most important three metrics for your website? Well, the number one was unique visitors. And then tied for second and third was average time on the site and the traffic sources that people come from. And that surprises me a little bit that more people worked I guess this was rated as the most important, but obviously cost per conversion is pretty important. But this does show that looking for new and unique visitors is what people are really most concerned with, and trying to get them to stay on the page for as long as possible. But what we're going to talk about today, you'll find that getting new visitors and getting them to stay on the page for as long as possible does not necessarily mean that you're making your website relevant, that you're really increasing the value. And that's what we're going to be talking about. The second question, which metric do you currently measure on your website between conversions and value? And 42% said both, and 46% said primarily conversions. And I would probably assume that the fact that only 12% are measuring value is because they have a really difficult time, especially in nonprofits and information-type companies. It's very hard to measure value. You can't just measure it as a revenue or a dollar per conversion. We're going to take a look at another way to measure value today. Do you currently use any web metrics to measure customer engagement on your website? And it might be hard here for people to understand exactly what do we mean by customer engagement, because I think it's got a couple of different meanings out there. It's become quite a hot term in the last 6 months or so. But people are saying that, yes, about 44% are saying they use some form of web metrics to measure engagement. And what analytics software do you currently use? The vast majority, and this is backed up by other surveys that we've put out, the vast majority are using Google Analytics in combination with some other web metric. And what we're going to take a look at, we're going to start by looking at the concepts of engagement analytics, and then we're going to look into how to implement it. And in doing that, I'm going to show you a way that you can do that with the new version of Google Analytics. We'll also see how to do the same thing with Sitecore's engagement analytics. And how many dedicated web marketing analysts do you have? 50% of the respondents said they had none, and 30% said that they had one analyst. And I think this is going to lead us right to something that we're going to see, one of the main drivers of engagement analytics, and that is you don't need to have a lot of analysts. You don't need a lot of people with degrees in analytics or degrees in physics or advanced math or applied math. Just marketers can do it by themselves. It makes sense. And so we're going to take a look at how that happens. So my main purpose for being here, for giving this presentation, I've got one purpose. And that one purpose is to tell you two stories. And those two stories relate to something that really happened to me in two different retail environments. And I relate those retail environments to websites because they're exactly the same kind of concept. So in the first store, what happened was that my home office is right next to my son, my 9-year-old son. It's right next to his television. Bad planning, I know. So when he comes home, he finishes with his schoolwork, with his homework. He jumps on the TV for his hour of television. And then it makes it real tough for me to do my work in my home office. So I go to this big box store, as we call them here in the U.S., this big box. It's one of our largest electronics distributors, retailers. And the place looks just about like this. I'm walking down the aisle, and in the back of the store, there's televisions. And I'm looking for TV headsets that my son can wear. I walk back there. There's three guys. And they're back there talking to themselves. They totally ignore me. I walk over. I look around. I find where I think the headset should be, and they're not there. So I walk over to these three guys. I say, hey, can you help me find some TV headsets? And they go, yeah. And they kind of wave. They don't move. They don't budge. They kind of half turn, and they're still engaged with themselves. And they half turn, and they kind of wave. Yeah, they're over there in that corner over there a ways. So I go back and I look again. I can't find them. So I go back, and this time I'm starting to get a little perturbed. I go back and I say, you know, could you give me a little more specific directions? I can't find this. And this is a true story. Now, not every story a marketer tells you is a true story. This one is true, and I've got proof in just a second here. So So I go back and I say to these guys, I can't find them. Can you help me? So got, one guy says with a, you know, kind of a smirk in his voice, oh, they're on aisle 12G. So I go over to 12G. It's where I thought they were. They're not there. I go back. I grab one of these guys by the lapel. I throw him to the ground. I drag him over to the kiosk. He's literally, this literally happened. He's down on his knees. He's looking in the bottom shelf, and he says, oh, the name tag fell off, and we don't have any anyway, and could you come back in 3 weeks? He doesn't offer to give me a call. He doesn't offer to give me a rain check to come back and get them, anything. It's just, why don't you come back in 3 weeks? So now I have to ask you, was I very engaged with this store? Do I like this store? Do I feel commitment or trust with this store? I don't think so. So this is a store that's a lot like a lot of websites. They depend on high traffic volume. And off that high traffic, they try to get as many people in the store as they can. Off that high traffic, they skim 1 or 2%. That's just like the websites, okay? So let me give you another example, true story. So before I started work at Sitecore, I was on the plane a lot. I live about an hour and a half north of San Francisco. So we have on the west coast of the United States a nice clothes store. I like ties. And so the plane lands in San Francisco. I'm driving north to my house, and there's Nordstrom's, which is almost next to our Mill Valley office on the north end of San Francisco. Now, I'm not almost right next to it. And so I'm driving north. There's Nordstrom's. I think I'm going to stop in and see if they've got some ties. And I've got one specific kind of tie in mind. I walk in the store. It looks almost exactly like this picture. As I'm walking to the back of the store, there's a young guy from the men's department. He steps out around the counter. And he says, hi, how can I help you? And right away, he looks me eye to eye, face on, says, how can I help you? And we start conversation. And I learn about what he's doing as he's going to college and working in Nordstrom's. And he learns about what my clothes references are and the kind of tie I'm looking for. It turns out we don't find a tie. I do buy two shirts. Okay, so two shirts takes like 15 minutes, right? I'm just some guy. About 6 weeks later, I'm driving north again. It's near closing time. There's the store. I pull off the highway, go into Nordstrom's. The same young guy is there behind the counter. As I'm walking down the aisle toward him, I'm a good 10, 15 meters away. He steps out from behind the counter. He doesn't look at his BlackBerry. He doesn't look at computer. He doesn't look at note cards. He just steps out from behind the counter, looks me in the eye, and says, hi, Mr. Person. I think I've got a tie you're going to like. So now, am I feeling engaged? One, I've talked to him. We've had two-way communication, not one-way. We've had two-way communication. We've built up some trust. I think he knows what I like, and now he's proven that he knows what I like. I'm getting some kind of commitment to this store and to this young guy. And as a matter of fact, here's the results. If anybody here knows Jerry Garcia, Jerry Garcia is the former lead guitarist for the Grateful Dead, and he was also a great artist. And after his death, his wife used a lot of his art patterns in clothing. And so I bought this tie. This was the very tie I bought that night. Now, there's something else. Now, most of us being in this business and being in marketing or sales or something like that, we know about cross-sell. Cross-sell is where you sell something that's related and off to the side. And we know about upsell, where you sell something of greater value. Well, have you ever heard of a downsell? Because I was so committed and so involved, and I liked the fact that this guy knew, this young salesman knew what I was looking for, that he did a downsell on me. And I also bought some Jerry Garcia shorts. So, I mean, it really works. I am totally engaged with this store. I am totally committed to this store. The other store I try to avoid at all costs. And this is like a lot of websites. So what we're looking at here is we're looking at, do you want to create a website that is high traffic and depends on just skimming off a few people that buy? Or do you want to create a website that is high traffic and highly engaged with the people So not only are you getting the high traffic from all of your efforts, all of your other SEO and SEM efforts, but you're getting that high traffic and you're getting people more engaged. So you're serving them better, they like you, they're coming back, they're committed, and you're selling more. To do all that, we've got four barriers. And the reason we've got four barriers is web analytics has been around since about 1995 when Web Trends started. And web analytics, just the way that it's done, it creates, it targets high traffic because the metrics you're getting things like new visitors, number of visitors, time on page. And so you're looking just at analytics that are oriented around the traffic. And what we're going to talk about, is the quality of the visitors. And we're going to develop something new called engagement analytics. The other thing is, as you're going to see in just a minute, web analytics, just as a matter of what it is, creates silo marketing. Every different marketing channel, every different traffic type has their own metric. So if you're using Facebook, there's one kind of metric you want. If you're using email, there's another kind of metric you want to monitor. If you're using search engine optimization, if you're using ad banners, everyone's got some different metric. Wouldn't it be great if we could get them all together, monitor just a few metrics, and with those few metrics, we could compare different channels and we could create a real cross-channel marketing. The other thing is that with web analytics, you got one new visitor, you get 1 or 2% shot at that new visitor. With engagement analytics, if you get one new visitor in, you're multiplying your effect. You've got a marketing multiplier. So it's not that normal 1 or 2% and you're trying to get as many new visitors as you can, but rather you're getting 2 or 3 times the engagement with them, and so you have a greater effect. With the same number of visitors, you're getting 2 or 3 times more purchase, more involvement. And fourth is that web analytics is complicated. There are a lot of metrics, and who knows which ones are most important for which situation. And things are changing all the time. And with engagement analytics, we're going to boil that down to something simple and powerful. As we've already seen, in the past, everybody depended upon high traffic. Most companies right now still depend upon high traffic. And what we want to do is develop a system of high traffic that's highly engaged. So that's our first barrier we've got to get past, is changing our mindsets. And here's another barrier, and that is that silo marketing. In the past, I mean like 20 years ago, 15, 10 years ago, most chief marketing officers only had to worry about 2 or 3 marketing channels, television, radio, print media. Now we've got, I think I counted like 13 or 14 different channels of marketing that could be used, and that's just in internet marketing. So email, SEO, social, and each one of those can be broken up into different types. How do we integrate all of that? I was in a metrics conference, about 3 months ago, and in that conference, they had 6 panelists. And they went to those 6 panelists, and they said, before the conference, and they said, what metrics do we need to monitor to come out with a cross-channel marketing system? Those guys came up with 47 metrics. Now, how many people can keep track of 47 metrics? There's all kinds of, kind of as a hobby, I read about cognitive psychology and how people perceive things. And most people, it goes back to that 7 ± 2, which a lot of us know is, has to do with how many numbers, how many objects people can remember quickly. And where a lot of menus and things like that come from. And that's only, that 7 ± 2 is only applicable in a few cases. But as a matter of fact, I kind of use it as a rule of thumb too in the work I've done in the past. And that is, you can't form a mental model of how something works once it gets beyond about 7 items. So It's like if you come up with about seven metrics that are drivers, they drive performance, and some of them measure the results of performance. There's no way you can measure and you can understand a model that's got 47 metrics. I don't know anybody that could. But with seven metrics, most people can understand, if I push this button, I'm going to get this kind of result. Or if this result happens, I need to take a look over here at this driver over here that must be failing. So we need some way to boil stuff down to seven metrics or less. And what we're going to actually do, we're going to take those 47 metrics, we're going to boil it down to four. And with those four, we'll be able to create real integrated cross-channel marketing. This is kind of a strange picture when I first came across it. And if at first you look at it and go, well, there's something weird, but what is it? Well, if that was real, if that was a normal situation, that little girl should be flying high in the air because the heavy guy is way out at the end of the fulcrum, and the little girl sitting up close, he should be propelling her skyward. But she's holding him up. And the reason is, it's a marketing multiplier. She's got a marketing multiplier working for her, and that's the same thing that we're going to be able to do with engagement analytics. Most companies right now, I think most people that are listening right now, just about everybody's using Google Analytics. And you might also have layered on there something like Omniture or Web Trends or Core Metrics or something like that. And you're using them to drive your traffic, to build or hire. But what if you could get a marketing multiplier? So like if you're just using to drive traffic with the same level of engagement and you've got 1,000 new people coming in, you get with 2% conversion rate, 1,000 people, you get 20 more converted. Now, what if you layered on top, you're not removing your existing web analytics, you layer on top web engagement. Then you've got that same 1,000 people coming in, but instead of a 2% conversion, you're getting a 6 or 8 conversion. Now you're getting 60 or 80 people converting out of that 1,000, and you're getting greater retention and more life. So that's a marketing multiplier that comes from engagement analytics. And the fourth problem is the complexity. Those 47 metrics, even if you're not using all 47, it's incredibly complicated. So we all know who this is, Albert Einstein. Albert developed the special and general theories of relativity, and it is my contention that the last 20 years of his life, he devoted to solving the theory of unified web analytics. And it's my contention that that's what killed him. It's too complicated a problem. In fact, there is a website up there right now by one of the two leading web metric consultancies. And this is the formula, which I took right off their website. This is the formula that they propose using to measure each one of these little metrics that are inside the parentheses and summing them, coming up with some kind of an average and doing a lot of equations and correlating that with results. And after the campaign's completely over and you've done all this measurement, then you can find out what kind of engagements you've got. That is one heck of a lot of work. It's way more than anybody is going to go to except for a special case. What we want to do is we want to come up with something that's simple and elegant. So, here's a simple and elegant solution. In human relations, whether it's your relationship with a friend, with a business associate, with a lover, with a business partner, all of those things begin with attraction. There's some reason that you're attracted. You can help each other. You're physically attracted. There's fun. Whatever it is, there's some kind of attraction. It's mental eye candy or visual eye candy if it's a website. The problem is that most web analytics right now are oriented around this attraction. Can we attract people and can we hold them? Well, you can't. Just like in a human relationship, you can't do that. Attraction only lasts so long. You've got to have something more. If you're going to build a long-term relationship, you've got to start with these layers. You've got to start with communication, and communication isn't one way. You've got to start with communication, which is two-way. The definition of communication is two-way exchange of information. And then you've got to start with simple trust, and you build that trust over time. So you increase the levels of trust at an appropriate level and over an appropriate amount of time. And then after you've had communication, trust, then finally you start building up to where there's commitment on both sides. So what we need to do is we need to find spots on a website, and we'll call those spots, we'll call them transaction points. We need to find spots on a website where that happens. And these transaction, these points of engagement, we have about 100 of them on the Sitecore website. And this is actually the numbers that we use. If someone registers for a white paper, then we assign that 25 points. If they register for a webinar, that's 25 points. If they register for anything, that's 25 points. Because it's a fairly low level. There's an exchange of communication, exchange of trust. They're trusting we're not going to spam them. We're trusting they gave us the correct information. We gave them some information. They gave us a little bit back. The next level up is a request for a quote. To get a quote, you've got to reveal something more. You've got to reveal what kind of system you need. And we've got to reveal our prices. You've got to reveal time frame. There's a whole lot more involved. So now we're talking about 50 points. And finally, there's an instant demo. Where there's a real face-to-face, but there's a human-to-human interaction. And it could last an hour or 2 hours. It might end up with a face-to-face engagement. So that we call that an instant demo. That's 100 points. So these things are scattered all over the website, places to engage with the visitor. Now, what's important is not the numbers here, not the 25, 50, 100. What's important is the ratio between the numbers, because it's showing some kind of ratio about that communication, trust, and commitment, which ones are stronger. And those points are proportional to that communication, trust, and commitment. And what we're going to do is we're going to start tracking those points. And let me show you how that's going to happen. This is not a football, but this is a representation of a website. And we can see we've got 3 transaction points on this website. In reality, like our Sitecore website, we use those same numbers, but we have about well over 100 transaction points on our website. And let's see what happens as a visitor comes zooming in. This visitor is coming in, point, page, and nowhere in there did they hit a transaction point. Nowhere in there was there communication, trust, or commitment. They got one way. They got information, and they didn't give us any. There was no real communication. They just went out there and worked. And really, we don't care. You know, that's fine. That's great. They can come back maybe in 6 months. But trying to attract them harder is not going to help. Here comes another visitor. This one's an organic search, and there was a registration and a demo, and that added up to 125 points under organic search. Let's take a look at another visitor. This is an email, white paper. Wow, 175 points. They registered, did a quote, and a demo. Now, one of the things with Sitecore, what will happen is you can track this over time so that if they, for example, they finally register in May, we can go back and see what they did back in January, in months earlier, if they've been up there. In Google, you can do it after the registration, then you can track the points. So let's take another one. Here comes another visitor. This is an email webinar, 25, 50. So now if we stop here, we'd say, well, we've looked at, I think that was 4 different visitors, and it looks like the email with a white paper, some kind of, you could even know specifically what white paper that is, looks like it's about 175 points. It's racking up the most number of points. But if we just keep running this, and we keep running it and running it and running it, we're going to see eventually where the most valuable channels and assets are. So now we know that from these five runs, these five visitors, it looks like email is our most valuable channel, and the webinar is the most valuable asset, and there may be a very specific webinar also. And if you're using Sitecore, rather than Google Analytics, you can track it back to an individual, and you can track it back to a company, a business. If you had multiple individuals coming up to the website, you could find out how many points, how many engagement points that company had built up. So you could say, whoa, this company's really starting to build up the points here. I think they must be getting serious. Maybe we should contact them. So please, you can, if you have any questions about this, please use the chat box on the right to go ahead and send in a question, and Nicole will pick those up and ask me questions later, and we'll stay and answer as many questions as we can. So now, remember I said there were 47 metrics that panel came up with, and we were going to boil it down to like four to do almost everything? We've looked at visitors. We had five visitors, and we looked at the value. We now know if we added all those points up, it would be the total value generated on the website, and we know what the value is for each of the channels, and we know what the value is on each of the assets that we're using. So, but there's more. There's more. So there's two more of the metrics that we can come up with from value and visitor. And that is, you know, if you just kept running this, eventually some channel or some asset or some campaign, we can also track it by campaign, some campaign is going to just build up a huge number, a huge value, because they just had more visitors. But in reality, they may have more visitors, but the value per visitor, how well they're doing per visitor, may not be as effective as another one. So another metric we can measure is the relevance. How relevant is this campaign or this channel? How relevant is it? How effective is the marketing per visitor? And we can see that if something has a low number of visitors but a real high relevance, then we ought to be focused on using that even more, using that whatever it was, the topics or the channel, whatever it was, because it's giving us a high relevance. In other words, people that use that channel or that campaign with a high relevance, they're really coming through for us, and they're building up a lot of value points. And then the fourth metric we can get is we can actually go in and see how something is doing relative to its peers. So, for example, what if we had 20 pages out there, and those 20 pages have visitors going across those pages, and each one of those visitors has accumulated a certain number of points, and so as they go across a page, a node in the website, as they go across a page, we can say, oh, that page has had, wow, that page has had 6,000 points go across it, and this other page has had 4,200 points go across it. So obviously the one with 6,000 points is higher. But what we could do also is we could, the one that had the more points must be, you know, valued by more people. But what we can do also is we can take a look at potential. We can say, let's take a look at all the new product pages. Let's take an average of their relevance. Let's take an average of their relevance. And then if we put a new page in there, let's say for a brand new product that's just come out, and we put it there in that new product section, and all of a sudden it is not even doing the average relevance that the other pages are doing. We know something's wrong with that page. We've got a brand new product. We're tooting the horn everywhere we can, sending out the press releases, talking to everybody, and this page gets really poor relevance. Obviously, we've got a problem. So we can see where something is above average or below average. Now, there must be a lot of marketing managers out there. There must be some chief marketing officers out there. So I'm going to ask a question. Who would want to have a website like this? This looks pretty darn good. I mean, we're talking about 300% growth in visits over a year. That's pretty nice. Well, there's a problem, because what we know now about measuring value, if we take a look at this, there's the visits, but let's take a look at the accumulated value for that website. So adding up all those numbers, the value of that website, wow, the visits are going up, but somewhere around June, July, the value started dropping. The value per visitor, that relevance. So our marketing is getting less and less effective. Something's happening. Either competitors are pulling people away. That's probably not true, because the number of visitors are still going up. So something's happened to change our marketing effectiveness. So we need to go in and examine what it is. Maybe we started new campaigns in a different direction. Maybe we come up with products that people aren't interested in. But this is a good warning. So let's take a look at some other situations where we can use this relevance and value and visits. So here's a pretend agricultural business, and it's got four campaigns out there: Growing Strong, Golden Ground, Farm Country, and Our Future. So these are the number of visits. And boy, if I was just looking at this using just number of visits, I'd say, well, easy. I know where to spend my next dollar. It's Growing Strong. That's pretty easy. But if now we take a look at the value that's accumulated in each of these campaigns, now what do you do? Growing Strong has more visitors, but the visitors didn't do anything. They didn't have any conversions. They didn't engage, or we didn't engage. The Golden Soil is really the one that produced the most value, and Farm Country campaign produced the next most value. And now this leads us to that question: how do I judge which is better, Golden Soil or Farm Country? Farm Country had fewer visitors, but it did a pretty good from the point of view of value over Golden Soil. It's hard to just eyeball it, especially if they're close. So what we need to do is we need to use that relevance, value divided by visits. And that's the green bar. And now we can see Golden Soil has greater marketing effectiveness, Farm Country second. So now we know where to spend our next marketing dollar. And we also know what assets, what topics, what channels we can leverage, because these are the ones that are most effective. What keywords. So now we're figuring out, boy, that's not very hard. It was pretty easy to figure out where we get the most value and the most marketing relevance. I'm going to do some more of that stuff. I'm going to leverage it and spin it different ways. Let's look at this one. So these are marketing channels or traffic types. So we've got search, organic search is pulling in a lot of visitors. Banner ads are doing second best, email third, social fourth. But now let's take a look at the value produced per channel. Whoa, here we're looking at the relevance, so we've already divided value by visit, and it looks like email is significantly better. That's where we should be doing our focusing. The search is getting a lot of visitors, but it's a lot of visitors that aren't really effective. We're not really converting them, they're not engaged with us. So now we come to the last third of this, and in this, I'm going to show you two ways that you can develop this. One is using, about a month ago, Google came out with their new Google Analytics. It's got some pretty cool stuff in it. And one of the things that it has is the ability to do engagement analytics. And I do have to tell you, I'm going to show you pretty much exactly, I think, if you've got a web analyst on board, they should be able to do this. It requires some coding, but I think in the next four or five slides, which we'll get to you within 48 hours, you should be able to see how to do this in Google Analytics. So for starters, we're going to write a little piece of code, JavaScript, put it on each, Google calls it event pages. In other words, each page that is one of those engagement transaction points. And then we're going to assign a weight to it, just like that 25, 50, or 100. Then we're going to segment it, and we're going to see our reports. We're going to get more engaged visitors because we can identify by segments, we can identify what type of segment was most engaged, and where that engagement value points, where we got the most, and what kind of relevance we got. And finally, we get a bottom line impact out of that, because we're serving people what they want. Our marketing is becoming more effective. So let's take a look. So this is the JavaScript that needs to be inserted on each page. So in that JavaScript, there are four variables: category, action, label, and value. So the category, you would substitute, in our case, we use transaction points called live demonstration, request for quote, or registration. So in our case, let's say this page is a registration page. So instead of the word category, I'm going to put registration in there, or code. And then for action, that type of registration, let's say it's a white paper. So I'm going to put a text white paper under action. And then label is the specific type of white paper. And so I'd say maybe integrated cross-channel marketing. And finally, the value, this is a registration. So I'm going to put a hard-coded 25 points in there. So I'm going to just paste that in. Now what I'd recommend is having been Mr. Excel for Microsoft and having written about, I think I've got about 1 million copies of books on Excel, I even tried doing word processing in Excel. It doesn't work very well, but anyway. You can build an Excel sheet to write this code for you. It's just about easy as pie. And use drop-down menus and code that stuff. So that your marketers can write this code and then can be shown where to plug it in. Now we go into Google Analytics, and we select the Goals page. In that Goals, what we're going to do, excuse me a moment. Nicole, are you there?
Nicole? Aaliyah?
Yeah.
Yep, can you hear me?
So are we still getting good? You can see my screen?
Yep, definitely.
Okay, sorry about that. There was a bunch of strange things happening on the screen. Okay, thank you. So we're on the Goals page now in Google Analytics, and in that page, this is where we link up the Google Analytics to that piece of code that's on the website. So we give it a name. We assign a goal name. And before we have the dashboard that I'm going to show you next for Sitecore, we did this something very similar, using Excel and some other software, and we assigned our name using a very precise naming convention. And so, for example, the first two letters would name the geographic region, and then there would be a space, and then the next couple would be the type of campaign, and then the next couple of spaces would be maybe the person, the initials of the person who was in charge of that campaign. And so if we looked at a goal name, we knew more than the category, action, label, and value. We had coded into that name of that goal, we coded in a whole lot more information, and we could use Excel's text functions to pull that information out. So we're going to create a goal name that matches that page. We're going to then assign it that this is an event. In other words, one of these transaction points. We're going to go through and we're going to select and type in exactly the matching category, action, label, and value. Those same ones that are in that JavaScript that we pasted in. And then we're going to say this is the actual event value. So we're going to use the event value that's in the JavaScript code. So now that's linked up Google Analytics to our page. And then we can go in and we can define how we want to segment our reports. And this hasn't changed much from previous Google Analytics. This one, for example, will create a report that's segmented where the page is a form that says thank you. The event action is a download. The category is a white paper. And the event label is increasing ROI. It means labels are a little different than what our labels were previously here on the previous slides, but you get the idea. And now we go out and we generate our report. And we can see there we've got total number of events, those are transactions, total number of unique events, the total value, that engagement value, and then the average value, which is going to be our value per visit. So you're getting some really good information, some great information that people didn't use before with engagement, and you're just using Google Analytics. So what I've seen in analyzing this is that you can use Google Analytics to do this. It's adequate for smaller sites. If you're getting up to where you've got a lot of transaction points, it's going to require quite a bit of human coding and intervention, and so it's just not quite scalable. Another thing to consider is data security. In other words, Google's got all of your data. So depending upon your security requirements, it may or may not work. It also, to go through and do all this, will require the work from an analyst or someone who can be trained to do this. And the segmentation, you can create custom segmentations in Google Analytics to some very well-defined segments and very good segmentation, but it's not going to be down to like tracking individuals or backtracking what did they do before they registered. And it also can't track things like, hey, we had 5 people come from the same company and what's the total value produced by that company. So that would, in a B2B type website, that would be really invaluable for you, letting you know when some company is really interested in your product and they're really starting to generate a lot of value on your website. So let's take a look at how Sitecore does it. This is with Sitecore's Executive Insight Dashboard, which links up to our ONS system. And for one, as you'll see right away, it's simple and elegant. It gives you the cross-channel marketing with built-in metrics for each of the 13 different marketing channels. It gives you very quickly this marketing multiplier effect, because it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes for anybody to learn how to use this. So marketing managers, campaign managers, the chief marketing officer, they can learn it in 10 or 15 minutes and be up and using it. So this is the dashboard, and we've got, across the top, we've got 3 menus. Down there at the bottom, there is a time slider, so you can select different portions of time. In the middle, you're going to see different charts appear, and on the right side, you'll see the different types of charts that are available for each different view. So in that top left, there's traffic. We can look at traffic or channel type, marketing channel or traffic type, same thing. Or we can look at information by campaign. The next menu, if we chose traffic type, for example, we'd have a selection of 13 different traffic types. So you can see that I think in Google they've got 4 different traffic types. So here we've got organic search engine, branded, which is where somebody types in your company name directly, referrals by blogs, wiki, analysts. We get a lot of referrals from different analysts who recommend us, RSS feeds, email, paid banners. So we've got a lot of different channels that we can look at. Under executive overview then, depending upon whether you're looking at traffic or campaign, you could then look at, give me the big picture overview, the executive overview. Give me the first impression. Where did these people first come from? Where did your visitor first enter your website? And what kind of value did they later produce? It's also called first attribution. And then also engagement, which is what was their engagement over the whole website, the length of time that they've been on the website so far. So let's take a look at the channel effectiveness, traffic type. And what I'm going to show you is in about 4 clicks, we're going to be able to go down and find out what our most effective channel is. Let me back up for a second here. That top right menu, when you change the type of view, you're going to change the charts that are available on the right-hand side. So the charts will change as to what's appropriate. So let's take a look now at that channel effectiveness. So what I've done here is I've clicked on that little orange wedge, or I could click on the email in that center legend, or I could click on the tabular, the table over there, and I clicked on email. And the reason I clicked there is, like, this is very strange. This is real data, by the way. This is real data from past history of Sitecore. And for this time frame, 0.87% of the total value, 0.87% of the total value, okay, came from email. So out of all marketing channels, less than 1% of the value came from email. And yet, if you look over at the table, over the past year, it's grown 1,000%, 952%. And in the last quarter, just in the last quarter, it's grown 2,000%, the amount of value we're getting out of that one little tiny wedge. I would say we're underusing email. This is for the time period last year. Let's take a look further. So now I'm still in traffic, and I'm looking at all traffic type. I've clicked on a different chart over on the right-hand side. This time I'm looking at, give me the source, give me the relevance by source. In other words, how effective is my marketing by the source of where someone came in? And look at email here. Email is 4.23%. It's way ahead of its nearest other marketing channels, 4.23%. Wow. Let's take a look at what kind of campaigns we've got out there in email. Let's see if we can do something about that. Let's find some good campaigns and let's leverage them. Let's reuse them, retarget them, use the same assets, use those same topics, the same keywords. Let's differentiate it. Let's get more out of that stuff that's really working. So now we've sorted this. Now we're looking at, you see, upper right corner, it says first impression. We're looking at the entry page that people first came in. And this one campaign that comes to the top here, it's sorted by value per visit. This one campaign that comes to the top, well, it's doing gangbusters. This is the most relevant campaign for this time period. And if I hover my mouse over it, I get this little pop-up, and it says, I know this is a terrible title. It sounds like something's going terribly wrong in the food factory. This is the molding the customer experience, but I think there was a different meaning there. So molding the customer experience, it started on June 2nd, and it's marketing to the new track, which are new visitors to the website. It is, see that potential there? It's 34% above its peers. And the value per visit is almost 18 down there. So it is really doing well. So now what we can do is we can take that and use that campaign and see how we can reuse it and reuse it and reuse it and go down the list and find out what's working and where can we use it more. Let's take a look at another way we can do this in about four clicks, and then we'll be through. In about four clicks, campaign effectiveness. What's our most effective campaign? We're going to be looking at a different time frame. I've chosen up here at the top left, I've chosen campaigns. We're going to look at all campaigns. And across all campaigns, where again, we're going to look at email campaigns. So I clicked. And now I'm looking at, over on the right-hand side, again, I'm looking at executive overview, and I'm looking at the visits chart. Now, if we were just looking at normal web analytics, we'd look at visits, we'd see that gray line. It went down, it went up. It's not as good as it should have been. It's still coming up. And that's about all we get out of it. But we're looking at engagement analytics also. So we take a look at that value line. It's like, this is, again, this is real data. It's a different time period. It's a quarter later than what was, than the one we just looked at. So I think this is really where one of our marketing managers, Dave Dubert, came in, and he really wailed on this sucker. He took that same campaign. He leveraged it. Look at what happens here. Yeah, if you were looking at the gray line, you'd say, yeah, we're recovering, but in reality, look at what happened. The value skyrocketed from the second quarter to the third quarter, and the relevance really bumped up, 4.3%. So if we go now to first impression, hope the top campaign has got the same topic as that other one. And this time, instead of being just an email campaign, it's an email campaign out to a virtual marketing event, like a virtual trade show. And we can hover over it, and this puppy is 49%, 48.69% above its peers, above its other campaigns in the same time period. And it's almost as good as that other campaign that we looked at. It's got a value per visit of 17.4. So in each one of these, in four clicks, we drilled down and we found the most valuable campaign, the most valuable channel, and we were able to leverage it and reuse it and get more conversions, more value to our website, engage more people. The result is, no matter how you use, what vehicle you use to do engagement analytics, you're going to find out that you can do away with those 47 metrics. You can make it simple and elegant. For the first time, you can do cross-channel marketing. And you get this marketing multiplier effect, where it's not just, you're not just looking for more visitors, but every visitor that comes in is more engaged. You have more commitment from them, more trust, more engagement, more loyalty. And what that means is it drops down to the bottom line impact. And you're really serving these people better. You're giving them what they need, what they want. So I've got to ask you, do you want high traffic, a high traffic website that is just disengaged? Or do you want a high traffic website that has highly engaged people, highly engaged visitors that are going to come back, stay loyal?
Thank you, and thanks, Ron, for that really engaging presentation. Really enjoyed that. We've had some great questions come in during the presentation, and I'd like to encourage everyone to continue submitting those questions, which you can do so in the chat box or using the hashtag #newmetrics on Twitter. If your questions are not answered, though, today, we will definitely be following up with you on an individual basis, so never fear, we will get there eventually. I also just want to say that we'd love your feedback on this presentation. So if you could take a really quick survey, it's only a few questions long. That's at surveymonkey.com/newmetrics. There's a hyperlink to this page that you can click on in the chat box. And our DreamCore event, if I can take up everyone's time for a couple of seconds, we are hosting a DreamCore event which showcases the latest digital trends and strategies used by market-leading brands of today. So, for example, CSIRO will be one particular customer of ours that will be speaking, as well as Village Roadshow. It's not going to be a big sales pitch, though, I promise you that. They will be talking very similarly like Ron is doing at the moment, and he'll actually be flying into Australia to present around the engagement analytics topic as well. So you can always come along, meet him face-to-face and ask some of your questions. And in addition, we'll also have other speakers from Gartner and Microsoft. So if you did want to learn more about the event or register, just visit www.sitecore.net/DreamCoreAU2011. So we might head on to the questions now. As I said, we've had quite a few come in, and I know we're right on 3 o'clock. If you've got a duck out, that's fine. We are recording this, and I will send a copy of that out in the next couple of days. Now, the first question up, you said that there are just 4 engagement metrics, visits, value, relevance, and potential, and that these 4 metrics replace all the myriad of all the other metrics that are out there. Is that right?
Yes. No, I'm kidding. Yes. There's some argument among different aficionados here, but I would say it replaces 95% of all the marketing metrics. And there are, of course, performance metrics, like site performance metrics, page load time, errors, things like that, that are not involved in this. But from the standpoint of making your website, making your pages, making your content more relevant, making your campaigns more relevant, this does it. You know, there's always somebody that's got a personal metric that they love, and I'm not against them using it, and I'm not against anybody continuing on, with Omniture and Core Metrics and Web Trends and Google Analytics and all the other things, because whatever you can use, whatever you understand to drive more visitors is great. But I'm just saying drive more and better quality visitors that you can really engage with. And you can see that engagement right away with these four metrics.
Great. Now I've got a question from Craig. He says, you mentioned Google Analytics is okay for small sites, but when does a site stop being small?
Whoa, that's going to depend. That's tough. That's going to just depend upon how many of those transaction points that you have. We are using three different types of transaction points. We have over 100 different types of registrations, for example. We have only one point where there is one form where there is a request for that instant demo, a live person-to-person demo. And, I wouldn't want to be managing 100-some-odd transaction points with Google Analytics. The other issue is just getting it all analyzed. So I think, I can't give you a direct answer. I talked with a couple of months ago that same conference I was at that I mentioned. I had lunch for almost an hour. We wrote all over the linen tablecloth. A lady who was in charge of web analytics for one of the largest retail companies in the United States. And she said, yeah, we can do this same thing with core metrics. However, it would take us weeks for every campaign that we did. It would be tough. So I say, try one or two with Google Analytics and see how it scales. The other thing is that with Sitecore, one thing I didn't mention is it takes literally one click and type in a number to set those engagement values on a page. So that's part of, it's part of when you do our web content management, as you build the page, you just say, hey, I want to put a value on it, click and type the value, and that's it. So it's super easy. I mean, it was built that way, rather than being an add-on, as it is with some other products. But what I'm trying to talk about here is the big picture. The whole concept, because it's a new concept.
Great. Now, Diana's asked, how does Sitecore match up actual converted clients, so sales, to the marketing initiatives?
I'm not exactly sure what she means. Maybe, do you have an idea?
Okay. I suspect, and I hope I'm right, Diana, please pop an answer in the chat box if I'm off the mark. However, as a marketing major for the Australian region, we actually have Sitecore integrated to our CRM. So anytime someone hits one of those goals on our website, it feeds through to our CRM. And when we pull a report out of that, which basically it's all the touch, we call it a touch report, it basically notes all the little points or markers in which we've had communication with either the individual or the organisation or both. And that's how we know which particular sales or marketing initiative was the first one to trigger a sale.
Right. And,
so hopefully that makes a little bit sense.
To add on to that, that's one of the initiatives I'm working on right now with Sitecore, is that everything out of that market tracking database, you saw the dashboards that look into it, and those are the super simple, easy to use, but see the value. All that data, or a majority of that data, is being fed into the CRM, the Microsoft CRM, as Nicole said. And then from that, we're able to, what I'm building right now, what we as a team are building right now, is being able to calculate ROI, and it goes all the way back to what was our first contact point, what was our campaign that drove those, so we can really calculate ROI and the sources and everything else. So,
great. Well, I think we might just do one more question since we are a few minutes over, and we'll wrap it up after that, but we'll get back to everyone individually. What is the marketing multiplier effect that you mentioned?
The marketing multiplier is, for most websites, you're getting, if 1,000 people come in and your conversion rate is 2%, then you're getting 20 people. and you just have to get any more people, you've just got to work harder to get new visitors. So the marketing all the time is just trying to get new visitors. And in reality, you know, at some point, in math it's called the asymptote. At some point, it just gets, you can't get any more new visitors, or they start getting fewer and fewer. And so it's much easier at this point to increase the engagement. So with the same number of visitors, you can get greater number of conversions by using the engagement analytics and looking at getting people engaged instead of just getting more people. And so that's a marketing multiplier. You're not having to get rid of your old software, whether it's Google Analytics or Omniture or whatever it is. You don't have to get rid of it. We're talking about using engagement analytics on top of it.
Great. Well, thank you, Ron, and thank you, everyone, for your time. Well, that wrap up the Q&A portion of the presentation. As a reminder, we will be emailing you the link to this presentation, including a PDF and a white paper, so you can view it again and share it with your colleagues. Thank you again for joining us this afternoon, and for joining us this afternoon. We hope to see you again at a future Sitecore webinar.
Thank you all.